Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. And welcome to this conversation with Bree Bird. Bree as a bird on Instagram. She is a hair healer, hairdresser, teacher, seeker, and a giver. Founder of Oracle Salon and mindset mentor to many. The classes that she has come to create and teach now are far beyond technique and look. She is creating a new wave of education in our industry, and it was a pleasure to speak with her and learn. And I giggled and had just a blast getting to know this bright, brilliant woman. I know you will enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Thank you for listening.
Hello.
Hello again. Welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. Bree Bird, I am so excited to have a conversation with you.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
I would love for you to tell the listeners about you and how you do your thing and where you are.
Sure. So I am a hairdresser out of Denver, Colorado, born and raised here. I have done, for the last 7 years, done fashion shows, photo shoots, video work, behind the chair work, and now kind of focusing more into different healing modalities, such as Reiki and crystal healing. I own a salon called Oracle Salon in Denver.
It's a great name.
Thank you. Yeah. Been all over the world with hair and editorial work, and I experienced my first real bad burnout about 2 years ago, and that's when everything kind of started to change. Priorities were shifting, and things started falling to the wayside, and I got more clear on what my true intentions were on this planet, and hopefully that answers your question. I'm like,
Well, it's definitely a great segue into just the path that you're on currently on and why, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what I love to hear about, learn about, and share with others is, you know, that the road to success is fast and furious, you know, when you're... It, for us, for beauty experts, I think it's just a really quick way to get to that burnout. And luckily that your result wasn't, you know, too bad, you know, that it's been an awakening rather than a bottom.
Yes, definitely. There were some pit holes in there that I had to pull myself out of, but ultimately it just helped me become stronger and more resilient as a person. So, you know, these things happen to us, I think, for us, not so much to us. So it's all about how we look at it in the aftermath.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I think that, like in the beginning of my career, I've always had Instagram, and, once it became a thing, it was in beauty school, that I first was exposed to it. And then ever since then, I've always, just grown my business, worked through Facebook, through Instagram to find clients, to find opportunities, to promote myself and promote my work. And with that, I think there, you know, dawned a new era of self-comparison and social comparison and social anxiety disorder and all the things that I think a lot of hairdressers are experiencing now and not maybe so much aware of. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on now, is trying to expose some of the realities that social media does, like some of the things that social media does to us if we're not mindful and we're not intentional with what we're doing.
Why don't you go ahead, tell the listeners and explain more to me about the class that you have right now that's specific about that.
So it's called Social Media Mindset. And I just really wanted to, as someone who's built my entire clientele through the internet, through social media, I really wanted to expose some of the things that, you know, didn't help me, that made me feel worse or made me feel
that's great.
Like this huge sense of urgency or, you know, like comparing someone's 20 years to my, you know, then 1 year.
And right. Like,
why am I not where they are? And not really, you know, knowing what I was doing with growing my business as fast as I did. So what I'm doing with my class is exposing a lot of the things that marketing companies and Instagram itself does to trigger our dopamine systems, and how we can overcome that and get our dopamine levels back to normal. And then also how to use it as a business owner, where your output is more of a priority than your input. Like, so you're not sitting there scrolling. And then you're like, I don't want to post anything. It's like, it's like eating too much food and then going to the grocery store. You're like, I don't really want any more food. Like,
that is so fucking insightful. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just beginning. It's still working out some of the kinks and whatnot, but I'm really excited to get it, you know, bigger and really trying to reach and help as many people as possible.
Oh God, that's so good. And you're either going back to school or you're currently in school to receive further education in a completely different arena. But what studies, like, where did you gather these, you know, specificities and these facts and these, you know, this information that you've put the class together with?
So just good old Google searching. It is amazing how much you can learn and cross-reference and compare and make sure, you know, that you're coming from a reputable source.
Right, right.
There's a lot of different amazing research out there done around social media and what it's doing to us. Because I think it's such a new thing that we've only really had. Like, I think I got Facebook when I was 14. So that's like just over 10 years that we've had this, you know, information or this technology. And we don't really know the long-term effects of it or how it's affecting us.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of really good studies coming out of universities. And I think there's quite a good bunch of really good articles on like Forbes.com and like Psychology Today is a really good resource.
I like that one too. Yeah.
Science of People. Love her.
Yes.
I'm going back to school to just kind of check out psychology. I'm just doing like one day a week for this coming
That's
fall.
Awesome. That's great though.
Like, I don't want to like overcommit. I'm so not a good student in that aspect. So I'm like,
I know, me too.
Let's just try it. Like one day I can handle that. And if it's something I'm genuinely interested in, then I think it'll be easier to actually go and be present. So
yes, for sure. And you know, when you in your beauty school, I don't know what kind of beauty school that you went to, whether it was a city program or a private school, but did they give you a foundation of understanding? I mean, a majority of the textbooks out there, you know, are so archaic that there's no real information around the relationship that we're going to be building with the people we serve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was kind of the point that gave me, that was the motivation in wanting to go back to school for psychology and learn more about that and eventually get like the fancy piece of paper or the credentials. But it's the fact that we're really only given an anatomy class, or at least where I went.
Yeah.
And
a little bit of sociology.
And it's not really, that's not enough. Like everything we do is psychology, like from how we speak to people, from how we approach them, how we shake their hands, how we sit with them in the chair, like consultations, you know, that is psychology, like 101 right there. How to speak to people, how to really understand what they're actually saying when they're like, I don't want it like this. You're like, well, are you sure? Like, you don't actually want it like this, or, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, that's, there's a lot of knowledge that's not being shared in beauty school. And I think that's what ultimately causes a lot of people to eventually leave the industry, is that they're just like, this is not what I signed up for.
Exactly.
I was not prepared for this.
Exactly. And it's very overwhelming. And part of what I'm, you know, hoping to communicate to people is in that there's no way you can prepare someone for, you know, however long it takes you to build a clientele, year and a half, 2 years, some, you know, longer than that, that almost every single person in your chair 5 days a week, 12 hours a day, you know, 10 hours a day, whatever, is going to be new.
Right.
And their body is putting off anxiety. Your body is putting off anxiety, and you're just recycling anxiety all over each other, just transferring it back and forth.
Seriously, it's so crazy. And how, if you're not, especially if you're empathic, which a lot of hairdressers
yes.
are, if you're not yes. aware of how to protect yourself from that, like, that, I mean, I was not totally
right.
was not prepared for that. I did not know how to protect myself. That's still something I'm working on, like with energetic
yes.
boundaries and stuff.
And, you know, so what did it look like for you being more sensitive when you started building that clientele and you didn't really understand the transference and the energy exchange?
I think I just didn't ever say no, or like took on more people than I could handle. I double booked like constantly in the beginning.
Yeah.
I really only stopped double booking this last year in January, and it was like, oh, like oh. wow, like it's so not worth that money.
Oh my
like,
god!
I've never
bless
ever
you.
Worked with an assistant, so I was always just like, it was just me, Duh. Like.
Adrenal fatigue, damn,
dude, so bad.
Yeah, so bad.
So yeah, I didn't, I don't even know how to answer that. I just didn't even.
Well, it's crazy, right? You don't even know because you don't know any different. It's like when you haven't worked out, you know, you don't know how good it's going to feel to work out. If you haven't eaten well, you don't know how good it is going to feel to eat well. And you know, there's nothing to compare it to. You know what you know.
Totally, yeah. If you don't know the difference, it's like, yeah. This is how it is. I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm making good money, yeah. And my clients are happy, so I'm doing a good job.
Right. And if you're not fucking anything up,
yeah.
then you don't know that there's a different way, or you don't need to ask if there is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would, like, go all day without eating and then come home and just, like, gorge myself and, like... sleep till like 10 and then wake up and do it again, you know, and just
oh my gosh,
like I'm so I'm so far away from that person, which is awesome, and I, you know, I appreciate her for what she did for me.
Yes, right.
But I'm glad Excellent. That I don't do that anymore. I don't even think I could make it, like, I eat first thing when I wake up now, and I have someone who makes me lunch because I'm a little bit like I don't, if I make myself lunch, I forget it at home, and then I order food, and then it's just like a whole thing. So
that's a great thing to know about yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have someone here who is a nutritionist, and she cooks for me, and I kind of found her when she first started. Her Instagram is at Rendering Cosmos. Love you, Alicia. But she just got out of school when I found her, and now she has like 13 clients, and she's like, you know,
God,
she
awesome.
Tries to be like, thank you so much, and I'm like, girl, I didn't, like, I just posted you on Instagram, like
yeah,
you did
yeah.
the work, like you have amazing food. So
and so you say here, meaning like in Colorado?
Yes, yeah, in Denver.
Okay I'm like, damn, girl, you got a nutritionist at your salon?
No.
Oh my
gosh, right? I wish. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I really, it's fascinating to see the evolution of what's happening and how quickly it's happening in our industry and the spinoffs of what we do and how, you know, shit, in just, you know, a short amount of time, you could have a nutritionist at your salon.
Absolutely.
You know, there could be an incorporation of, you know, all the modalities that you are going to be doing And including that, you know, it's like a one-stop shop kind of thing. Like, I don't think that's too far
no,
off.
No, definitely not. There's a wonderful space here in Denver called Woman Folk Beauty, and they have it's more esthetician skin. I don't believe she has a hairdresser in there, but she has a nutritionalist and a Reiki master, and I think like a fitness, like a trainer. She's got like all the things. Dang. She just needs a hairdresser. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I think,
you know, it really is. It's just a package, you know, and I think that we are really multi-talented in so many ways that if we can tap into the ways that we are, you know, doing well in, then it's just that the sky's the limit.
Right, absolutely. I think that it's interesting now, like learning more and more about, how do I phrase this? It's, I think a lot of people have realized what's missing in this industry, and there are so many of us now out there trying to start the conversation or continuing the conversation about mental health and self-care.
Yeah.
And I think it's just so awesome. Like, it's super, like, we're all kind of like, hey, we need to wake up a little bit. This is a problem. We need to take better care of ourselves. We can take better care of the people in our chairs, or, you know, on our sets, or, you know, in our lives, our families.
Yeah.
I sacrificed so much family time and like a romantic relationship so that I could work. And then, I just got to a point where I was like, what have I done? Like,
right.
For what?
Who am I? What happened?
What was I working for? Like, it's all ego.
You wake up. Exactly. And it's really fascinating, you know, and it's so wonderful that, like, I love your language around, you know, thanking that girl, thanking that person, you know, that is such a beautiful avenue to some deeper healing and realizations about everything is exactly where it needs to be for my expansion.
Absolutely.
You know, and so much gratitude for myself, you know, having had whatever it was that was in me that could be an alcoholic and work the way that I worked and travel the way that I traveled and still been so functioning,
right?
You know, to the point where it's like, wow, you know, it had to drive me that far to get me to the bottom that was necessary for me to have the realization and the expansion that I've had.
That's huge.
It is. And it's like, and you look at, you know, and there's no regret. There's gratitude.
Right. I love that.
You know, and it's beautiful. It's so healing. And to say thank you to it all for being exactly what you needed when you needed it. You know, the timing and the synchronicity of every event that's happened to get you where you are now. It's powerful when you look at it that way.
Absolutely. I think it really is more harmful to look at things and, you know, wish they had turned out differently, because there's just no way of making that happen. And it's more about the lesson that was, you know, involved, like, in the experience. If you miss it, then it's just going to keep happening. And then you're always like, why does this always happen to me? And the cycle continues.
The cycle continues. Exactly. So tell me what, you know, what did that evolution look like for you? You know, did you skid to a halt? Did you have a bottom that, you know, kind of rocked your world and made you rethink everything? Like, what was that for you?
Totally. So this was July last year, and I had just come back from a really amazing trip in Greece. I took like 3 weeks off and I went
out
to Athens, and then like I hopped around some Greek islands and stuff, and just completely like by myself. First I went for a hair event with Mastered. They're like an editorial program for hairdressers, makeup artists, photographers, art directors, like anyone who would be on a fashion shoot. They have a program for, and they do live meetups throughout the world. And this one was in Athens. And
how fun.
Yeah, I was like, my salon name is Oracle. I'm going to Greece for sure.
Totally.
And I It was amazing. It was just such a good time. Met amazing people, and there were actually like four or five people there from Denver, which was so funny. Like people that were involved in the program that you know, just through word of mouth had joined, and then we all ended up in Athens.
Brie, are you there? I lost you for a minute.
Oh yes, I'm still here.
Let's say okay. Good. Go back a little bit. You said that actually there was a lot of what?
There were a lot of people in the program from Denver at that time.
Oh, no way.
And so there were like four or five of us out there in Athens for the 2-day event that was held there.
Oh, how fun.
It was a good time. It was funny. So I came back from that trip after meeting, you know, such amazing people. I actually had a realization I was on a boat coming back from Naxos, one of the islands out there. And this nice man who was reading a English book, so I knew he spoke English. He and I were kind of like chatting it up, and turns out he lived in Brooklyn, and he's like super awesome, fabulous man. But he asked me about hair color and like how it works and the chemistry behind it. And I explained a little bit about it, and I was like, I had this realization, like, oh my God, that was the first time in 2 weeks I have talked about hair. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
And like I think, yeah, 6 years at that point, I was like, wow. That was weird. So I came back from that trip, and I for about 4 years I was a part of a artistic team called Beauty Underground. And they do a lot of like New York Fashion Week. They do shows in London and Madrid, and a lot of amazing things in Vegas. They do Naha. And I had been helping with like social media and like the website and stuff like that. And during my time that I was gone, I wasn't able to be posting and stuff like that. So I came back from that trip, and I'm really grateful for this now. But I ended up, that relationship ended after that trip. It was like, it just kind of happened. And it was really, devastating in the moment. I was like, what? Like, this was a team that I had worked really, really intimately with and for a long time and given a lot of myself to. And,
so painful.
Yeah, it was super hard. And, you know, I've definitely played the victim a lot before seeing my own role in things and how I kind of like made that all earned it, like manifested some things.
Yeah.
So that ended like pretty abruptly. It was like 2 days after I got back from Greece, and I was just like, wait, what do I do now? Like, and it just started this whole transition from, you know, hustle, work. I had no interests outside of hair. There was nothing. And I remember when people would ask me that, like, what do you do outside of the salon? I'm like, more hair. Shows and shoots. And that having those opportunities kind of stripped from me, I was like, well, what do I do now? And it just started this whole transition from wanting to work away from behind the chair to, that's all I had was working behind the chair. And I did that for about 8 or 10 months before I was like, I just can't do this.
I'm done.
I was like so tired, and just, you know, there were opportunities that I could have created for myself to do shoots and do a lot of the things I was doing with Beauty Underground before, but I was just so exhausted and tired and just kind of, you know, still hurt.
And,
So I made the decision in probably February of this year to step away from behind the chair and step away from my salon, and I'll be going in to be a creative director at my friend's business, Emerge Modern Salon. And I won't be behind the chair anymore, and I will be able to actually do some more editorial work and create space for myself without having client work depleting me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I am like so grateful to the leader of the Beauty Underground, fabulous man named Charlie Price, and I love him.
Yeah.
I am really grateful to him now for releasing me, because I realized, you know, that I really wasn't happy and I didn't actually enjoy what I was doing. So, you know, thank you, Charlie, if you're listening. But yeah, that's kind of, that was the breaking point. That was like my whole world shattered. And then I realized like, wait, I don't actually want any of this.
God, it's so interesting, isn't it? You get a little perspective and you're like, what? Wait, how did,
like, whoa,
I don't even really want this. I'm not even enjoying it anymore. How did I get here?
No, I was turning into like a really negative, complaining person. And it just, I didn't like who I was or how I was treating my body and just so many things. Like, I wasn't doing self-work or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I was just avoiding, like, avoiding. So.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's kind of my long-winded story of like
how... No, it's not at all. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So what do you think, like, is there a book or a person or something that you listened to that invited you to start doing the inner work and to really take a look at your part and where you were at that point?
Absolutely. So Women Who Run With the Wolves is
nice.
Clarissa Pecona Estes,
yes,
is amazing. Goddess. Yeah. Oh, I think I heard about the book through Gina Devine on Instagram.
Oh, yes. I love Gina.
Love her. She's just so, so good.
Yes.
And so I picked that up and it took me about 4 months to get through it because it is thick and it is like,
it's wordy.
Juicy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take some processing time.
No joke. Yeah.
But it literally just completely changed my life. And come to find out, Dr. Clarissa Pecona Estes lives in Loveland, Colorado, and her daughter is actually a part of the Beauty Underground.
OMG.
Isn't that crazy? I was like,
I'm sorry, what?
Stop it.
She's an amazing makeup artist, Tiaja Pierre, and she, I've always known her mother was an author, but I didn't realize who.
Holy guacamole, that is crazy.
It's a small world, man. It's crazy. And now being a little bit more woke, like all of these things, like all sorts of synchronicities happen, and it's just like,
right?
Whoa.
Wow.
I thought it was like awake before, but not, I had no idea. I'm still, you know, like that's a constant, you know, it's constant growth there, but.
So good.
But yeah, best book ever. I highly, like, if you're a supporter of women or if you are a woman, like, you need to read it because it is just solid perspectives on culture and, you know, how women have been treated for thousands of years. And
yeah, think about it, like turning your inside out and just like revealing your connection to every female that ever walked.
Seriously,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
You read it and you're just like, every story you can place somewhere in your life. Multiple places, most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is probably, if anyone's like looking to begin or just looking to add another book to their library, I would definitely recommend that one.
Yeah. Highly. So once you started doing the inner work, having the realizations and seeing, you know, that those synchronicities and like you see the threads of your life woven into every, you know, piece of what you've experienced, how did you start to incorporate that into your daily life, your body, your beauty, your, you know, everything?
Absolutely. So it really began when right around the same time that the relationship with Beauty Underground ended, I hired a coach because I was like, I need some help. I need, you know, someone who's in the industry who gets it, but also that can like, just help. And that was Miss Ashley Diana. She is a wonderful light in this world, and I am so grateful that I hired her. during that time. And she really helped me get out of it. In our first conversation after she read my survey or my like little intake form for her, she was like, "Bree, do you even like doing hair behind the chair?" And I'm like, "I don't, yeah, of course. I love it. It pays my bills, man. Like, I've always loved it. What are you talking about?" So she kind of called that, but so she really helped me like evaluate, like, what does your morning routine look like? What are you, how are you spending your time when you're, you know, in your reflection time? Mm-hmm. And she sent me a lot of resources through like Tony Robbins, that, you know, really, you know, helped me evaluate, like, how was I waking up every day? What was mm-hmm. I doing right away? Journaling, that was a huge addition to my routine.
Great.
A gratefulness practice. So yeah, I mean, every morning I wake up, I let my dog out or I take him on a walk, depending on kind of how much time I have in between where I need to be next. And I sit, I have like a little gratefulness journal that I write in at least like 5 things. And then start my morning matcha, make some, make some koyo with a bunch of granola and stuff in there, fruit. I'll usually do some like yoga leading into some sort of meditation. And then I try to make it to the gym. That doesn't always happen. Do like 3 days a week. That's solid.
Nice. Yeah, totally.
And then, yeah, that's really it. Just kind of, I don't look at my phone either for, and this is something I teach in my class. I do not look at my phone for at least an hour after I wake up. I just shut off my alarm and I do not look at it. I usually, I'll like read instead. Versus looking at my phone and scrolling, because that was always, you know, before really evaluating what I was doing.
Yeah.
I would open my phone, look at my email and just immediately get pissed off, you know.
Yeah, get sucked right in.
Ugh, it's just not a good way to start your day.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, always, I almost like want to do like an hour and a half, 2 hours, just like not looking at it, but.
Yeah. So just so that, you know, it's hard for people to think about making changes like that when, you know, they don't understand the benefits. Like,
sure.
When did you start to feel different and really recognize that you were changing, that you were evolving?
I would say like pretty immediately, honestly.
Great.
It was a pretty quick turnaround there. Just because I would always start my day and I was in such a funk with everything going on in my life and all the anxiety it was giving me and all the mm-hmm. worry and like the visceral, like your body reacts to those feelings and those thoughts, right? Like, so it makes you feel like, I don't want to get out of bed.
Right.
I don't want to go to work. I don't want to touch anybody today. Like, so when I started starting my day off like that and getting outside and like, you know, being mm-hmm. more grateful for what I have and really like saying that out loud, like, I'm so grateful for my legs that work. I'm so grateful for my mm-hmm. car that runs. I'm so grateful for my apartment that I love. So grateful for my dog, Milo. He's awesome. grateful for my parents, you know. It just, I think it's really hard to be in a sour mood after that.
I completely agree.
You almost have to try. So I would say pretty immediately. And then when you don't do it after you have been doing it, notice the difference. It's almost worse than before because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, like if you don't know the difference, then you don't know. But once you know it,
right,
you feel it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, you know, it's wonderful that I really, obviously, because I do one-on-one with people, I know how necessary it is to have someone in my ear and in my psyche once that foundation is laid and those words are spoken, you know, I still have that in my psyche moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps rearrange the thought process of that negative victim mentality where we get into the like, I just can't do another day. And I,
right.
You know, the self just gets so stuck in the story. So I have to, but you don't understand, or you've never been where I've been, or, you know, all the stuff that they, I look at it as entitlement, but also just, you know, the record is just fucking broken and stuck. You know, I think it's really necessary to have an influence to help enter in new information.
Absolutely. I mean, it carves new neural pathways in the brain when we're
exactly
right. Like when you're constantly thinking like negatively or just, you know, focusing on a situation that's not so awesome, you're just carving a deeper and deeper pathway. And then when you start doing something different or talking to people that help you think about it a different way, you're carving those new pathways. And it's just so much, so liberating.
It is. And to just have Ashley Diane ask you that question, do you really enjoy doing here by behind the chair, to have that, like, you know, who needs to be in a neutral position, you know, to be able to ask a question that most people probably wouldn't have the balls to ask you.
Right. Totally.
You know, to push you to the thought process where most people wouldn't have the courage or wouldn't even know that you needed to have that question asked.
Absolutely. And that's,
I know when,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I know for myself, you know, what got the, you know, I joke, my dad doesn't understand recovery. He doesn't understand the 12 steps. He doesn't understand why I would want to go to AA. And I said, well, I needed brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't think the way that I could be thinking, you know, I need a different perspective. I need to be shaped and shifted, you know?
Absolutely. And there's some serious power in community with that, you know, like
the support
you get, like that's so needed. You can't, you know, when we struggle with these things, it's so easy to feel isolated and alone, and to know that there's someone in your corner, it's just so empowering.
It is. And it also gets to that piece, that's that entitlement of I'm different, I'm special, you know, and it's always that like ego-driven / self-worth issue that's combative, you know, inside of us, that's going back and forth about what, you know, we are and what we deserve and what we don't deserve. And, you know, just having the ability to put yourself in someone else's shoes, you know, just for a moment and see yourself in them is so powerful. You know, that's the community aspect of it. And I love that, you know, if we can, we can open ourselves up to that even with just our patrons. You know, how many times were you capable of actually having compassion for your client and rather, you know, than yourself, but it allowed you to further down the road feel that, you know, in a moment of self realization.
Absolutely.
Because you've witnessed someone else's story.
Absolutely. There's serious power in that, and like, yeah, gaining perspective. Yeah.
So with you changing your position, you know, your desire to look into psychology, you know, did you feel drawn to the intricacies of the person when you were listening to people's stories behind the chair, when you were having the relationships, the intimate relationships that we end up having with our patrons? Was that the kind of psychological stuff that got you fired up?
Definitely. Yeah. I love, I'm such a why person, and it's kind of something I'm working on, because it's not always our business, or not so much our business, but like,
yeah,
there's things that you'll never know why. And that's
right.
You know, something I'm working on accepting. but I do love, finding out, you know, why is someone the way they are? What happened to them? What leads to this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I this way? You know, it's all kind of like I think through experiencing other people's stories and their whys, it's a way to kind of figure out your own whys.
Oh, fully.
And a lot of it, you know, there's stuff that I'll probably never know, but I might have a pretty good idea. But at the same time, is it a projection of like my own shit on them? Like,
Or were you drawn together
to
mirror life for one another in a way that will help you decipher those things about yourself that you don't know or need to learn?
Yes, exactly. I think now, moving into the role I'm moving into, I'll be helping hairdressers instead of behind the chair clients. Mm-hmm. And that will be, I am so excited. I'm so excited to help the team at Emerge and make their lives easier and kind of, yeah, learn their whys and like figure out ways for them to overcome, to cope, to healthily like deal with things so that they can then be more present and there for their clients.
Mm-hmm.
I think a company that takes care of its employees first is going to be the most successful. And that is, yeah, that's kind of the role I'm assuming, is to help take care of them so that they can take care of everyone else.
Yep. But, I love it.
Yeah.
More power to you, sister.
Thank you. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Yeah. I would say through my own experiences with therapy and working on myself in that way with talk therapy, with nonverbal somatic methods, that is something that has helped me behind the chair, communication wise, and understanding when someone is upset about something. It's, you know, 10% of the time it might have something to do with you, but 90% of the time it's kind of them. And you know, how to navigate that and accept personal responsibility, but also be empathetic and yeah, feel for them, have compassion, not just, oh, it's just your hair, or you know, or that's not what you said you wanted.
Like, right, exactly.
You said you wanted this, now you don't like it. You know, it's like, no. Yeah. Like, let's look at this differently. Take some personal.
Yeah, exactly. That is huge, my dear. God, that is so necessary. You know, I think that's been one of my motivations in really just helping people get clear about where the work needs to start. You know, so much finger pointing happening and why, you know, someone's not successful and thriving in the salon, you know, wherever you go, there you are kind of stuff, where it's like, well, if I move, I'll be happier and I'll get, you know, more clients, whatever it is that, you know, really motivates the wandering hairdresser.
Yes.
You know, that just can't find a place to stay.
It's like,
that's always, you know, moving.
What's the common denominator in every situation?
Exactly.
let's look at you, girl. What's happening?
Exactly. And it's hard because I know that feeling. I mean, I did it for so many years.
Oh, same. Yes.
And, you know, it can be really, it also feeds, you know, the stuff in us that's like the newness and the adrenaline and, you know, that feeds that drama driven piece.
Right, absolutely.
But man, I am so excited for the people that you're going to get to influence and support. That is a really cool endeavor.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited. I'll be opening up a lot of workshops and classes to, you know, people not just in the salon as well. So it'll be a good way to give back to the community.
Great.
Yeah, starting there, and kind of eventually we'll do some stuff like more remotely online. I do prefer like in-person work. I think there's, you know, you can download all of the workshops and the like all the things, and it's a matter of like, are you going to sit down and do it at your computer, or are you going to like, pay for something and then show up to that class and be more present?
Totally.
So I like the in-person stuff a little bit better right now, but
It's hard to be, you know, when you're starting something new and you're curious about something new and you want to endeavor towards it, it's really hard to self-motivate, you know, and if you have that, that physical, you know, that gathering, that community, that to me seems like such a good motivator for people to really get included.
Absolutely. It feels more personal.
Yeah. And we need more of that, you know?
Absolutely.
So what do you do outside of work now that you know that you've got this whole other, like, flipped it to the other side? Like, how are you creative outside of work, you know, besides doing hair?
Totally. So I have started doing like some paintings with like dead flowers and stuff.
Cool.
Little like Mod Podge action. They're mostly like portraits of women with the flowers being the hair, and Yeah, I'm really enjoying that. I have always been in like into art, but I think hair took so much of my creative.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very creative thing. And I think a lot of people, you know, look at the industry when they're outside of it, like, oh, that's just so awesome. You get to do this all day. Yeah, but it can be really depleting as far as being creative outside of it. Like if that's kind of where you're spending your juice.
Exactly.
So yeah, I've been doing that a little bit, and then writing a lot. Writing is something that I've always really just felt such a good release from, and poetry is so, there are no rules. So it's just like,
yeah,
it's so fun to just let some words out on paper and yeah, like to get into like spoken word and stuff like that, do some live being in front of people on a stage or something. Like, sounds so scary, but I'm like, I need to go do that.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. As far as, you know, expression is concerned, like my four tools that I incorporate into my burnout prevention, you know, expression is so necessary. And, you know, that verbal, using the power of the voice and the breath is so powerful, you know, and like just sing in your car if that's all you can do, but do it, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Such an incredible mover of energy.
Out. Yes. That's, I've been exposed to a lot of breath work. Workshops, or I don't know, even know what to call them. They're not classes. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're just like you lay on a
session.
Session. There we go. But the first time I went to one, I really didn't know what I was doing, and I was just like blown away by that experience and the deep like emotional release that comes with it. Highly recommend. Yeah.
Highly recommend
doing one on Sunday. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what does it look like for you when you're having these releases? And do you, you know, is there a point where you feel like you want to hold back, or do you feel like you've just gotten to a place in your life and in your body that you feel comfortable feeling your feelings?
That's such a good question. I thought for a long time that I was really good at feeling my feelings, and I've realized through doing things like breath work and just like yin yoga, and like I've recently like just cried in Savasana. I went through a kind of like a breakup of 5 years in April. We're back together, so we're good. That sounds
good.
But yeah, we just needed to figure our shit out, but separately, and it was good. But
good.
So during that time, I was like, I don't think I cried about it for like 5 weeks. I was like,
wow,
I'm fine, I feel good, like this is what I needed to do. And then one day it just hit me like a train, and
wow,
all of the things I was kind of bottling up just came to the surface, and it was so good.
Oh my gosh, right? So important.
Yes, so good to do that. I think the first Reiki session I ever had, this was years ago, she told me, she's like, you just need to feel your feelings. And I'm like, I do. I think I do. I don't know. Like, okay, thank you. And you know, and now I'm like, okay, I got it. Actually, like, give yourself permission to cry if you need to cry, to you know, yell if you need to yell, like let it out, like just don't store that away, because it just eats away at you. It's so poisonous.
Well, and it's so hard to not go into the like, why am I crying?
Right.
What am I crying about? And the judgment, you know, that goes along with the expression. It's like, can I just have the feelings and not need to fix them, change them, or know why?
Right.
And that has been the biggest piece for me, is just to just feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, by the end of the week, end of the month, you know, we've not made space for any kind of expression. Who knows why the fuck you're crying? You know?
Right. You don't have to know why.
You don't have to know why.
Just let it out.
You
know?
You need to cry. Just get it out. Yeah, it's Oh God, we're learning so much. It's such an incredible time. I think it really is just like heal to heal the whole, evolve to evolve the whole. Know that no matter how little the incremental changes that you make towards that evolution, the better you will be and the more powerful the ripple effect you create will be.
Absolutely.
It's
Yes,
just
that's everything.
so to the personal responsibility, you know, is understanding that your health, happiness, and you know, internal well-being, wealth, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's so valuable to everything.
Absolutely. When we heal ourselves, we heal the planet. That's why Mother Earth is kind of in the state she's in, and I see a lot of good happening with that. You know, a lot of companies are becoming more sustainable, more fair trade, more, eco-friendly. And I really am hoping that we will turn this around by healing ourselves first and then making more conscious consumer choices, being more conscious of where you vote with your money and when you spend any of your money on something that's maybe not doing the planet so well, like you're kind of not really helping the overall evolution and healing. So it's something to really be conscious of. Not that we're all perfect, because I still live a plastic lifestyle in some aspects.
Oh
You
God.
know,
Yeah,
there's no.
it's so hard sometimes, but it's definitely, I think, like you said, just the consciousness of it.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, that's where it starts, is the internal work and being just conscious of your reactivity, having a soundboard and being open to talking to people about some of the stuff that's hard to talk about. And yeah, releasing judgment, letting go of that need to judge everyone and everything and match it up against you. It's kind of part of our survival instincts to do that, but it's just not always healthy and helpful.
And I think that it's just become so, you know, it's like the limb that's become overgrown, with social media, you know,
Yes, yeah.
just really is out of proportion to everything else.
Absolutely. Her success is not my failure. That is the biggest thing I think I can teach other people is if you feel triggered, then evaluate where that's coming from.
Then comparisonitis.
Yes, yeah.
It's just,
Oh, the itis.
it's
That's a
like
good way to call it.
the burnout, you know, finally making it to the medical journals and, you know, having a medical ID. Comparisonitis is going to be next.
Seriously, yeah. And I can't believe that that just happened. I was like, wait, really? That wasn't a part of the the mental health books? Like, that was not included.
I know, it's just the slang, you know, and
Yeah.
it's just like so many other believe, you know, we believe they're innocuous until it's just like at the end point, you know, it's just topped off too much and now we got to admit there's an actual problem, you
Right.
know.
Yep.
Hopefully now with the information age and everybody getting, you know, a little bit more of a perspective, they can catch things, you know, like here I am, man, I'm the burnout interventionist. I'm self-care advocate trying to help these people understand that, you know, intervening is like I don't need to have the bottom to have the realization, to have the spiritual experience, to have the that mark of evolution. You know,
Absolutely.
you don't have to go and do what I did. You know, there's certain things that we can create for ourselves that help us stay above it. You know, not above it in a like I'm good too good for that shit, but like my mindset is set on understanding that I don't need to experience that to evolve.
Absolutely. And you can experience it through other people's experiences without, just by reading their books or hiring them as your mentor or going to their workshops, going to their classes, listening to their podcasts. There's so many different ways to experience it without having to do it yourself so that you know the difference and you know better.
Yeah, and just creating the self-awareness that people are these days. I just know that, especially with the industry, I really think it's evolving and it makes me so happy.
Yes.
Just, you know, I'm so excited for myself. I get to go up to the Energizing Summit for the American Board Certified Hair Colorist
yes.
this weekend. And, you know, talk about a group of evolved hairdressers. I really was so impressed with them last year when I went for the first time. And it gave me that bolster, you know, to know and you know, seeing you evolve, seeing, you know, what's possible, Gina Devine evolving and doing what she's doing. And obviously, you know, all the other Limitless Hairdresser, yes. Left Brain Group, you know, like we're making it happen. There is then that evolution coming forth and knowing our own power and what we can do to influence our industry is just, it gives me so much faith, grace, hope, you know, in each moment.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being on this planet, this lifetime right now.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with all of us.
Yeah, it really is something to think about, you know? It's a trip. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. This is happening for a reason. There's no question.
Absolutely. There's
ultimate synchronicity.
One day robots could potentially take over all jobs. And then what do we have but to work on ourselves and to become more evolved beings and actually be, you know, present, aware, and conscious of what we're doing.
Oh my God, man. That's when we start like moving mountains with our minds.
Straight up.
Straight up. Oh my gosh, love. Thank you so much for sharing your time, energy, and intention with me and the people that are going to be listening to this. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much. You're doing amazing work, India, and I'm so honored to be on this with you. Thank you. Oh,
thank you for being on the journey with me, and I will look forward to seeing and hearing what you're doing next. Much love, many blessings.
Back at you, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation. And if you would like to find Bree on Instagram, she's Bree as a bird and Oracle Beauty EDU. And if you have any questions for me about burnout and what it looks like and how maladaptive coping measures may not be serving you anymore, please don't hesitate to reach out. India@indiadunn.com. Have a wonderful rest of your day.